Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by El Fakeador Laurie Blake.
What's up?
Hey, man.
Hey, dude. How's it going?
Good, mate. How are you?
Very, very well, thank you.
Good. Have you recovered from our hectic weekends?
I was so tired. I was cross when I got home. I was that tired.
Yeah.
But I had a great weekend. It was really fun.
Yeah. I think both Tom and Pete had a little sleep in the car on the way back from Birmingham.
I was too busy playing the tunes.
You were indeed playing DDDDJ.
DDDDJ. Dictionary.
Whereas Tom lasted, actually, the majority of the trip, but then, in the last 20 minutes, just dozed off a little bit.
Gone.
Pete, on the other hand,
just fell asleep, didn't
just
he?
Just fell asleep.
He's only wee.
He is. He just got tuckered out from
he
such
did.
An exciting
week. Such a hard time, didn't he?
Because, well, we were very late on both Friday and Saturday in terms of going to bed.
Mm-hmm.
We were up till... how much time did we go to bed on Friday night?
Half two, something like that.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Very late.
Windjammers.
Play Windjammers and Towerfall.
Yeah.
And Mario Party minigames.
Amazing.
It was a Mario Party minigame as well that we were we said, we won't play a full game of Mario Party because it'll just take forever. And then we just spent forever playing all the minigames. We may as well just play Mario Party.
The minigames are more fun in isolation. There's more chance to win stuff. It doesn't feel so... The game really is just it doesn't matter how well you're doing at any point. It just randomly decides who wins at some point during the game. And that is what always happens in Mario Party. There's no point trying. Because you could be in last and it would just go, here's 5 stars. you are now the winner.
Yeah. You get stars because you're losing. And so here are your bonus stars for being in last place.
Admittedly, yeah. Super Mario Party is a little bit more fair than that, admittedly. But old school Mario Party definitely was do you want someone else's hard work? You can have that.
You can have it if you want.
Just take it.
Yeah. I mean, you're in last place. Bless your little cotton socks.
Yeah. Want to keep you involved with Nintendo. There's no winners and losers in Nintendo.
We had
except everyone who's not you.
We had a fun little car trip, though, particularly with you as DJ, particularly on the way back, because we sort of fell into a bit of a rabbit hole of playing YouTube remixes, interviews and stuff. We played the Seagull song from Bad Lip Reading.
Oh, that's a great song.
And the
Bed Intruder song.
Is that the damn one?
No, that's the... damn! He's climbing in. No, so that's... He's climbing in your windows, snatching your people up.
And, yeah, and damn!
Oh, which was the burger review.
Absolutely
brilliant. Damn! The crisper de crunch. What a song.
Cheese is oozing.
The cheese is... Oh, get yourself a double cheeseburger. Damn!
Yeah, so excellent little car ride. I was telling Ollie the other day as well that one of our theme songs when going to the NEC was Uncle Cracker's Follow Me.
Yeah.
That song's so good, I missed a turning to the NEC.
It's only a 10-minute journey, and I think we listened to it 4 times somehow time.
That's because I only had the single version, so it's just 3 tracks.
Oh, no, I was playing just the same version. I just had it on loop.
It was great. Right, let's crack on into the main review. This is going to be a brief episode of the Wrestle Ramble. At least that is what I'm saying from the outset. We haven't recorded this yet, but there are only 2 matches.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them we're going to talk about in the opening segment of the show.
Yeah.
And then we'll have some super chats and the one match to talk about. There's no storyline advancements.
No.
So really feels like this might be our shortest episode
yet. A whole bunch of recap.
So watch us go an hour.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah, that's it. Get your super chats in because...
Oh, I'm going to say, at the tippity top of this show, I'm going to tell people, get your super chats in now, lads. And if you want to have a super chat, you better do it at the start of the show because this ain't going long. but anyway, here is the show. Now, I will say, so this was barely an episode of NXT, so... This could be a very, very short episode. So if you wanted to, if you're desperate to get a super chat in, I would get them in early doors.
This was the bubble and squeak of an NXT episode. It was just the scraps smushed together.
And this happens after every takeover. Yep. You get the recap show. But I'd argue that with those recap shows, there at least feels like there is some semblance of the storyline will go in this direction next. There'll be like a backstage interview where there'll be, I'm looking to do this next, or I'm going to go after this person now.
They have no idea.
And the only one we had was Io Shirai. Mm-hmm. Io Shirai goes backstage and was like, I'm not done with Shayna Baszler.
Yeah.
And that was it. And they announced a tag match. But apart from that, this was a nothing happening episode of NXT.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this was very much, let's all calm down, shall we? Yeah. Calm down.
Should we calm down, even though we recorded this beforehand? Mm. Yeah. So, but we're going to talk about the first match on the show, and a guy that we've been very high on in WWE and NXT since he joined, but we were high on him before he joined as well. Mm-hmm. I was actually thinking about this today. I remember 2017 when I joined, and we'd gone to see Rev Pro, and there was a match between Keith Lee and Tomohiro Ishii. Best match I've ever seen live in my entire life. And from then on, every single question, anytime someone said, who's your favorite independent star? Who's an independent star that you would like to see in NXT? The answer was always
Keith Lee.
Keith Lee. Because he is an incredible, incredible wrestler, incredibly charismatic, just a great look to him as well. He's agile. He is just... He's all power. He is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been in NXT now for over a year.
Yep.
And
little has happened.
Little has happened. Now, he did get that injury during, unfortunately, his essentially first storyline that he had with Dominik Dijakovic, which kind of then that fell apart.
Because they announced it,
the rematch will happen in 3 weeks. Oh, did we say three? Sorry, we meant 5 weeks.
We meant 4 months.
We meant 3 weeks from now.
Yeah.
And then Dijak got injured. Mm-hmm. So that's all completely fallen apart. So we didn't want to just title this, What's Next for Keith Lee?
No.
I'm pretty sure we've done that before.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a running joke in our office at the moment. It's hard to come up with NXT titles.
It very much is,
It's usually, what next for the Undisputed Era?
It just is, yeah. What are the Undisputed Era up to this week?
What are they doing now?
Yeah. Air guitar.
So I thought we could talk about Keith Lee. And aside from just doing a what next, let's talk about just how great he is.
Yeah, about why they should push him. I think one of the things is that clearly he came in with a lot of fanfare around his signing. And then they just put him into a few squash matches, which were fairly unremarkable in terms of like even really getting over his offense. I think the cool thing about Keith Lee is like what worked in this Kona Reeves match that he had was the fact that Kona was on top for quite a bit of it using trickery. And then when Lee fires up and starts suddenly matching someone on a level you didn't expect him to, which is usually just in terms of agility, that makes you sit up and pay attention.
Oh, yeah.
Because the squash match stuff was very much like there was a few bits and a few flips and a few cool little bits that he would do, but mostly it was just a power game sort of thing. And then he hits the limit breaker, gets the pin.
Yeah.
It's all over.
Big spirit bomb.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it was when the Dijak, I'm just going to call him Dijak because I can't bother to remember how to pronounce it. When the Dijak matches started, when that happened, that was remarkable because it was two big guys doing this crazy cruiserweight style stuff, really going at it, really going ham on it. And that was like, I think that was the match that maybe I want to see the most on a takeover is like the repeat of that match. And I was so gutted that the injuries got in the way of that happening. So I think it's time to push someone like Lee into that, probably I think into the North American title picture, because it was a shame that he was actually then used as a sort of foil for Matt Riddle for a while as well. and that sort of has kept him out of the spotlight.
Yeah, they sort of became like sort of the, they were just best buds backstage for him.
Yeah.
But that then got dropped because Riddle was going off in his own direction and Lee just then got forgotten about again.
Yeah.
He's always been the forgotten toy in the chest.
Yeah, I think it's just a sort of, I think because he's obviously very over in a face, he's perfectly built for the North American title picture. They clearly had plans for Ricochet to be the champion. As soon as Ricochet was the champion, there was not really anywhere for it to sort of go. It needed to be sort of face heel face, but Gargano's reign was clearly a storytelling aspect of using that title, and now it's on the Dream. So I don't think until Dream either fully becomes heel Velveteen Dream, I don't think Keith Lee's going to be the man to topple him.
No, but I could certainly see them, because this felt like a big, not so much a rebuilding, but like he had his, I would argue, his re-debut. Because I was thinking about this today when I was making up the thumbnail for this Wrestle Ramble. I thought to myself, like, if we had Keith Lee in like a takeover scenario, not on a takeover show, but like on the pre-taped takeover thing they do before, like the pre-show essentially they do, which they tape for TV, which is what this was. And then I was like, oh yeah, they have. Do you remember he lost to Lars Sullivan?
Yes, yeah, he
Lars,
did.
Lars Sullivan in his last NXT match on the way out. Sorry, there's a fly
just buzzing around Luke currently.
Oh, that makes sense. So he lost to Lars Sullivan.
Yes.
Out the door. And we were like, that's bad for Keith.
Yeah, that is really bad.
Really sucks for Keith Lee. And then he kind of then had his re-debut after that. He got his new music. And it just felt like he'd been given a new lease of life on the NXT brand. But even then, it was one match.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen him again up until really this point.
Yeah.
So that's a real shame. But I would say I'm hoping this time, this is like, okay, this is our third refresh now. Mm-hmm. We're going to really now start to do something with this guy.
Yeah.
Give him a storyline. Maybe Dijak's going to be okay. Maybe Dijak's, I don't know what his road to recovery is at the moment. Mm-hmm. I don't know when he's going to be back. But maybe they know he's going to be back in time for TakeOver Toronto.
Yes.
So we can start doing this stuff with Lee now.
Let's build him up.
Rebuild Lee so we can then get him some big wins, get him wins over Tesco's Finest, and we can have him beat some other names on TV in the coming weeks and months. Then Dijak can make his big return and be like, look, you and I have got unfinished business. And you can build then to, rather than it be like a TakeOver pre-show match, on TakeOver main card.
Yeah.
And make it like a number one contendership to the North American title or the... Because Dijak said he wants the North American title.
Yeah.
So maybe it could be a number one contendership for that belt. And I'm very hopeful that this is the third start for Keith Lee in NXT.
I think he's been a victim of circumstance. I think they've had, like, there was a spree in which they got a lot of big talent coming in, but they've also had dominating storylines for the last couple of years as well. That just meant that, like, a lot of the, like, the North American title was clearly just like made so they could have Ciampa and Gargano repeatedly feud for the NXT championship, and it'd be like there's still something for everyone else to do here.
Yeah.
But there still wasn't enough of something for everyone else to do, and it's that same problem that the main roster suffers from a lot. But like here, it felt more remarkable because there's so much less TV time for people to do things. So yeah. It will be 4 weeks before you see Keith Lee again. Like, if you see him once, and he'll come out and have a match, and it'll be about 4 weeks before you see anything else from them, because it's going to be the next set of tapings.
Yeah.
So, hopefully now that we've got past that, and due to injury and stuff, we can't really revisit that. We've kind of got through the Undisputed Era stuff and all the problems that came about just from the War Raiders being lifted directly out of NXT and all the other people that have just been pinched. So, hopefully, the storytelling in NXT just gets back on track now. They're not scrabbling so hard to rewrite everything because someone's basically torpedoed the plans.
Mm-hmm.
So now's the time to build the plans for everyone else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I imagine the rest, like all the people who weren't in title feuds got pushed to the back of the line as soon as everything went tits up, basically.
Exactly. It just means to be like, guys, we'll get this sorted out as soon as we can, but at the moment we've kind of like we're scrabbling to get this all ready to go.
Yeah,
and now like
yeah.
and this is, you know, TakeOver 25 is a bit of like a clean slate, right? Let's move forward now. What are our storylines we're going to be doing for the rest of the year, and we can move forward with those. And I really hope that Keith is a part of that, because for my money, he is the most underutilized guy on the NXT roster. Absolute superstar in the making.
It's one of those things where actually, if you even went to the main roster, I think he would immediately be like...
He's big as well.
It's the size thing.
Yeah,
it's,
exactly. Yeah. Like, because I think, Randy, if you could do a bit of research on this, I think he's taller than Lars. And if Lars can get a big monster push, then I'm sure Keith could
as
well.
So they said in the commentary in the match, Kona Reeves is 6'8".
Oh, yeah, he's massive, isn't he? Yeah,
but Lee isn't far off that in terms of, like, height.
Yeah.
Lars Sullivan is 2 centimetres taller than Keith Lee, but it's only 2 centimetres. 2 centimetres doesn't make a lot of difference in human body height.
You say that, though, but people do say that Lars is too small to be getting this monster push that he's getting. There's the comments that I've seen on our videos. Well, when me and Ollie have said he is tall, or when we've said he is big, people go, he's not that big.
The thing that helps Lars is that his arms drag along the floor when he walks.
It's the goatee. It just gives him length.
Well, I think the difference is Keith Lee's monster push wouldn't be as a heel.
No.
It would be as a babyface, like, big guy.
Yeah.
And I think that it's completely different. You don't have to be a towering presence if you've also got the charisma of Keith Lee.
That's the key to it, is he's got the charisma that can get him past the, oh, this is just a monster push where you just squash people, because he is, like, just dripping with charisma. Mm-hmm. He's got so much character. The way he carries himself in the ring, the way he does his entrance and everything, he just has superstar aura about him.
Yeah.
So I would like to see him stay in NXT, if only because we've seen what happens on the main roster. And so I just think, let's try and avoid that.
Don't deserve more toys.
You don't.
Play with the ones you've got.
You can't put Buddy Murphy on TV. You've had 8 weeks and you still can't get it.
I can't believe they're doing Buddy Murphy versus Aleister Black on, like, the house show circuit, and we're not allowed to see it. I'm so annoyed.
Maybe we'll get it soon, but... Don't hold your breath, we've got to get more Shane McMahon
segments. All of this, like, all of the Bobbins, Aleister Black promos where he's just saying, like, cryptic goth stuff.
Yeah.
If that turns out to be, like, Buddy Murphy turns up and has a match, great.
Great.
If not, I'm annoyed.
So if I could see him stay in NXT, I would like to see him get a huge push down there.
Oh, yeah.
North American, get into that NXT championship picture as well, because he would have some absolutely outstanding takeover main event matches. Mm. Like Keith Lee, Adam Cole for the NXT title. Ooh. That is a match I would absolutely love.
Keith Lee Riddle.
Yeah.
Like, just as a, like, maybe just as a sort of friendship. Like, if we've already built that minor bit of story, if Riddle's the next challenger for the NXT championship and he's the one to topple Adam Cole and win it, like, Keith Lee stepping up and being like, look, since I got here, I've been in your shadow. You got here after me.
Yeah.
And you've been the one dominating the headlines and getting all the good matches, and I've been taking shots from Cassius Ohno because of you.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a cool story to do. Like, even just as a mutual respect storyline, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, let's talk about the match. It was Keith Lee versus Tesco's finest, Kona Reeves. Nigel actually teased, at the start of this match, he was kind of teasing that there was some sort of union between Kona Reeves and Vanessa Bourne.
Mm.
He was talking about, because he bloody loves Vanessa Bourne.
Yeah.
And he was talking about, like, I don't know if Vanessa Bourne's endorsing Kona Reeves or something, or if they're going to try and tease.
Are they dating?
Maybe.
She's going to be the manager?
Who knows? Mm. But I mean, I quite like the Bourne and Aaliyah pairing. Granted, it's going nowhere, but it's...
Oh, yeah.
It's fine. I mean, those women's tag titles are never coming to NXT, despite the promise that they would do. Absolute.
No, they're just going to be. They're just being worn by the Iconics now. Yeah. They don't mean anything. Nope. Already, they mean nothing.
Yeah.
So.
The Iconics are the longest reigning women's tag team champions, and I don't think they've actually defended the belt since they won them.
They've not defended the belts, nor have they defended their own honor by winning a match.
No, they keep losing.
Yeah, I know, it's terrible.
But anyway, so Ryu starts selling the knee off a leapfrog that he does, and he uses that. But it was all a ruse. He uses that to kind of, like, get on top of Lee, and he works Lee over for a while. But he starts hitting Lee with these forearms. The problem is, Lee is a forearm-type Pokemon, so it just gave him more strength. Yeah. So Lee just stood up, like, more powered up, and just starts making this comeback. And he's making this comeback while Kona Reeves is maintaining wrist control. So Kona Reeves should be dominating because he's got wrist control, but Keith Lee's too powerful.
Well, this is like, it was a Greco-Roman knuckle lock, is what they were calling it. But there was a brilliant bit where they're getting this wrist lock, basically, and... Reeves dives through the ropes to break it up. And first of all, he goes through and he's like halfway through and he's like, ref, ref, ref. And Lee just drags him back into the ring with one pull.
Yeah.
He then goes through the ropes again ends up on the, like, jumps over the top and ends up on the apron on the outside. And Lee yanks him up onto the apron and then up and over into the ring. It's such a cool bit of theatre.
Oh, yeah. It's so cool.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Apparently, he's a fan of One Piece as well, which is, you know, it is a show.
Yeah,
I have heard that name.
I've heard of that, yeah. He's a fan of Final Fantasy with his finisher called the Limit Breaker.
Yeah, so. It's good. Well, when he did our intro for the Prince Charles show,
Final Fantasy 7, yeah.
Such a little nerd.
such a dweeb
Final Fantasy dork. Final Fantasy 7 is amazing. But yeah, then he hits the Limit Breaker, which is his fireman carry. Power slam for the win. Good showing for Lee.
I really like this match.
Really
liked
it.
I thought it was a good showing for Kona Reeves.
Yeah, it was, actually.
Frankly, I thought this was probably Kona Reeves' finest work.
Yeah, his Tesco's
finest. It
is, because Kona Reeves is a guy that he clearly had sort of like a big push behind him, because he had like his re-debut vignettes of being like his new gimmick, some of the finest. He got the big song entrance. He's got his big sort of jangly jewels and stuff. But they very quickly gave up on him.
Yeah.
And he is one of those guys that, and I feel this is something with NXT, particularly with that NXT audience and Full Sail. If you haven't come in with a name behind you already from the independent circuit, you have got a much harder time at getting over.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Unless you are like Velveteen Dream, who is so good. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got to be dream level good to be able to get yourself over as a homegrown NXT
guy. But it's sheer force of will with some people. So I think Dreams was pure charisma. Again, it's that thing, because his ring work wasn't fantastic when he debuted, and people weren't massively into the Velveteen Dream when he was just doing the Prince thing. And then when he started talking and it turned a bit goofy, that's when people really paid attention. It was when he took the sort of serious edge to it out.
Yeah.
Then it became more than just a Prince gimmick.
Yeah, I think Dream and Montez Ford are the two that I could think of at the moment that are sort of like these homegrown talents in NXT that are actually
Montez Ford.
I'm just trying to come up with examples of like NXT homegrown guys that haven't come in already with like your Matt Riddle level names or your Adam Cole level. I've been in ROH and I've been in PWG and this, that, and the other. But yeah, I thought it was a really, really good match. I really enjoyed it. Loved Keith Lee. Really, and I'm not the biggest Kona Reeves guy, but actually, I thought he was excellent in the match.
Yeah, he was really good. I thought he was the perfect foil for Lee in this.
Absolutely,
good heel work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's time to do some Patreon shout-outs before we get out of here. You can tell that I'm going on holiday next weekend. given up, basically. I'm already in holiday mode.
Okay, bye-bye then.
Okay, toodaloo.
He's wearing jelly shoes.
I'd never wait. Gross. But anyway, we've got to give us some $25 shout-outs to our Patreon Pledge Hammers. Make sure you're also getting involved with Wrestle League if you are one of our Patreon Pledge Hammers. And if you are one of our $25 and above, you get your own little personal shout-out like this one. Damian Wayne Wilson Fisk.
Hey. I trust you as Sam Farah as I can throw you.
Have a cup of tea, Lee.
Caught in a Travis Webb.
We're going on a Brian Huntley.
Charlie, drink it in, Z-Man.
King George Phillips.
I'm pushing my chair really far this way. The perfect storm, Noah Trumbly.
There can only be one R legend.
Robert Spencer. Period.
Michael, Sands of Time.
And finally, John's Secret Santos.
Randy Datson, what's going on
that
with
is half the them? Content on this NXT?
Hey, there were video packages. I'm sure we can. Randy, super chats, mate.
Yeah, we got a few. We'll start with XG Krampus, who says, "I can see Cole holding the belt till WrestleMania next year."
Oh, is that a lengthy reign for Adam Cole? It's been a while since I feel we've had like a big lengthy reign. Like I know Ciampa had it for. I don't know how long. Ciampa had it from what summer, like the SummerSlam weekend. Yeah.
Aleister Black didn't have it for that long.
When did Ciampa win it?
I feel like it was quite early last year, wasn't it?
Can you do? I'll tell you what. While you do a question, I'll do some googling.
Yeah. So there's the rumor that they were looking to pluck Adam Cole out of NXT, right?
So. Yes. Yeah, so the new story is. But bearing in mind, like, I'm pretty sure Meltzer has been saying that Cole has been on like the to-do list of getting a call up for the last couple of years now. So yeah. That
but
was
it's hardly,
the same with Shayna Baszler.
But it's sure he's been on that list for years now. But the difference is he's now had two very highly rated matches. Mm-hmm. In a row.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that drags attention directly towards you.
Yes.
Like, you know, and Johnny was in a similar position when they started doing the call-ups. Like, surely Ciampa and Gargano would have been top of the NXT list when you go like, oh, what kind of matches have they had? Oh, they've had all these, like, five-star classics at various things. So,
Ciampa had it for 200...
They weren't five stars, but what did they get?
238 days was Ciampa's reign, which actually is quite lengthy because previous to that was Aleister Black with 102. Almas had it for 140. Drew had it for 91. Rude had it for 203. So he did have a fairly lengthy reign. It was July last year up until March when he had to vacate the belt. So I'll take that back. He did have a lengthy reign with it. Mm. I'm not sure about Adam Cole though. But like as you say, if he's going to get called up or
Well, I feel like their storyline is what if they're going to pick it up again was leading towards him being sort of cast out on his own in some way.
But maybe if we say, I think that storyline's been dropped.
Maybe. Maybe this is the peak of his ego.
We'll find out what happens at TakeOver Toronto, because I imagine that will be, it'll be Cole Gargano 3.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Tim Arndt says, "Well, I liked both of the matches on this episode. The thing I liked most about the episode was Slipknot. That's not a dig at NXT. I just love metal."
Well, yeah. It's a good song, actually. It's a cracking little number. It does make for a daft intro, though.
Yeah, it's a bad intro.
When they're all standing in a row singing it, it does look so daft. Don't like it.
Caleb Maldonado says, "Any E3 predictions?" Oh, as if by magic.
As if on cue.
Take it away.
We will be doing E3 predictions over on Screen Stalker tomorrow afternoon in the same slot that we have the Rambles on Wrestle Talk, because there's no Ramble tomorrow. So stay tuned for that. I'm not going to spoil anything that I think right now.
Good tease, though.
I also haven't really thought of it. So. I'm going to sit and do some proper research and have a proper think about my predictions.
My prediction is there will be a playable version of the Final Fantasy VII remake.
That's probably true. Yeah. But it will be like the smallest sliver. That game is going to take forever to
come
out.
It's taken forever and a day at this point. I feel like it got announced 10 years
ago. Well, they completely revamped it, is why.
Yeah.
So like the latest trailer that came out on the state of play thing the other week, the graphics are completely different.
Yeah.
So they've changed. They've already just gone through one wholesale revision of the thing.
I've got to be honest, though, when I was watching that trailer, I feel like us getting way off topic was bound to happen on this episode of NXT where there was a little talk about.
Got time, it's fine.
But seeing non-turn-based combat really turned me off.
Yeah.
I don't like the real-time combat.
But it was always ATB in Final Fantasy VII, wasn't it?
No, ATB was turn-based.
No, but well, it was like the meter fills up, you have and a then you choose up. The weapon.
Yeah, absolutely.
You choose
yeah.
the thing. So
I'd much prefer that. Mm. I want them all standing in a row, and I want my baddies also standing in a row, like it's a WWE promo. Yeah. And I want us to
and
all,
you're the television.
Exactly. And I want us all to take our turns.
Yeah, that's it. Mm.
Randy, if you say Hogs of War, mate, I will not be
playing. Actually, you are. I wasn't actually going to, although. Laurie, remember a few months ago when we were talking about Screen Stalker, I said, it's my birthday at the end of June. Maybe we could do a Hogs of War play along. And you were like, yeah, for your birthday, we can do that.
Yeah, for your birthday next year.
I will also be there for the E3 thing. I don't really know what it is, but I know it's some gaming thing. So I'll be sitting here.
Yeah. For that. You won't be there at E3. You're going to be sat in that chair.
We decided Andy was the best of us to send to E3. Yeah. So he's going to LA.
Hi.
Are we sending Randy because it's a really boring convention to actually go to?
It is actually really dull to go to. I'm sorry.
Is this your first year not going? You went last year, didn't you?
I went last year, the year before, and the year before that. Yeah,
so it's your first year. Yeah, it's really boring.
I mean, admittedly, I was just sitting in a cupboard editing stuff for most of it, so I didn't really get to experience much of the convention side of things, but I've done enough conventions to know that there's a lot of queues.
Yeah, a lot of faff.
Yeah.
Anyway, chats, mate.
Yes, chats. Benny Boy says, Cultholic are donating the money from Super Showdown stream to charity to make up for the controversial show. Will you guys be doing something similar?
Yes, we've been talking about that, yeah.
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 Tim Arndt says, will there be any next...
We don't want to make any announcements of what it's going to be yet. Yeah, we haven't talked about it.
Will there be any NXT guys at the Saudi show?
Yeah, I think apparently Matt Riddle's going. There has to be. There's 50 blokes in there, and I'm hoping Zach Gibson's there because he's my pick to win. Mm. So
Zach Gibson is
well,
your pick
yeah.
To
okay,
win.
So what I did is because I had nowhere and no clue, so I took everyone from the list of WWE personnel page, removed managers, women, people who were injured, people who refused to go, put it into a random name picker online, and I got Zach Gibson. So he's my pick to win.
I picked Braun.
Yeah. I picked Bray.
I've not picked anyone yet, actually. I haven't done my predictions. I was waiting to see what you said.
Why are people so obsessed with the idea that Matt Riddle, speaking of, we're going to have one of those later, is going to interrupt Brock?
Okay, so Riddle himself teased that he was going to be on Raw last Monday.
But he's been doing that for months.
I know, but like for whatever reason, it was this tweet made people go like, "Oh, Matt Riddle's going to debut on the main roster soon." It's like Riddle's been saying he said he was going to be at WrestleMania.
It's like
he said
it's his running joke to say he's going to retire Brock Lesnar.
He's been doing this since like UFC.
Yeah.
So like it's always been Riddle's thing. So Riddle has been making a feud with Brock Lesnar
that Brock doesn't know is happening.
Brock doesn't know about. So I think Heyman knows about it, but that's about it. So
Riddle really wants to concentrate on the feud he's got with Goldberg.
Yeah.
I think
it's Riddle being Riddle. So I think Matt Riddle is rumored to be in the 50-man battle royal, but I don't know if he's going to be interfering with Brock.
He's the Riddler. Tomo says, hello, WrestleTalk people. I'm currently on WWE 2K19 creating Bayley Sting, which is funny because we've already had someone send us in a version of Bayley Sting.
We certainly have. I was just going to find their name.
We could do a Bayley Sting Royal Rumble with all the Bayley Stings that have been created.
I was going to say, yeah, because that'll be the third one, I think. So it is Scott Agrila sends us in his version of Bayley Sting. There's a Bayley Sting already on 2K19.
Which had a baseball bat and accompanied to the ring by Sting.
Amazing.
And yeah, now we've got another one as well.
Like the protege.
She's taken over.
Yeah.
Lee Spicer says, hello there, Luke, Laurie, and Andy. I just wanted to say I've been a fan of WrestleTalk since Challenge TV days, and your podcast helped me to relax after a long day at work. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. Joe's Challenge days were a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I kind of miss those Challenge days sometimes. Aww. Yeah. Very, very late nights.
Look at this now.
I know, but we had like the massive big studio. I mean, it was the old studio that we were living in or working in, but we just never went down to that bit.
Infested with pigeons.
Well, even before it was infested with pigeons, it was just loud because of the pigeons. But yeah, it was fun. And it was just also fun because like your nan would get excited because you're on telly.
Oh, you're on telly.
Because you're on telly. And then my mum would call. I was like, oh, Luke's going to be on telly if you want to tune in. I accidentally walked in the background of a news round broadcast once. That was my big moment.
Jobber JJ 496. I've got the worst anecdotes. Jobber JJ 496.
I feel like you could barely classify those anecdotes.
With too many NXT guys and girls going.
It's barely a sentence.
Anecdotes are interesting things that you feel like you should tell people. Yours are just non sequiturs.
Sorry.
Jobber JJ 496 says, with too many NXT guys and girls going to the main roster and some want to come back to NXT, is this hurting NXT more? We see Triple H having to keep changing plans.
Good question. I don't know, because really, I mean, I know we've got a lot of people who may want to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, I say we know. We can speculate that people may want to go.
Yeah.
But, you know, Tyler's the only one.
Yeah, Tyler's the only one so far.
Yeah, like, I think Killian Dane's done a couple of house shows and stuff, but I don't think he's fully gone back to NXT.
Yeah, I feel like you'd put it on the table, wouldn't you, as an offer to be like, maybe you can go back here. Like,
yeah.
I was discussing this with Simon. It was like, I think to my mind, you'd rather have them somewhere in the company than like elsewhere working for somebody else and getting that promotion over, especially seeing as AEW has shown its hand, kind of like it likes people who've left WWE talent. Like that seems to be working for them. So I think, yeah, you would take people back to NXT, but yeah, I don't think you should interrupt the storylines that are already going on in NXT.
Yeah.
For the purposes of that, Breeze was lucky because it fit in. It was kind of perfect happenstance, really, that he wanted to go back at the exact time that Dijak got injured.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
He was the perfect person to put in that role against Velveteen Dream because they have a similar character.
Yeah, absolutely. But really, this is a case of it's like WWE created this rod for their own back, really, which is like they've signed 1,200 people and they were like, we haven't got enough time to put them on TV. I was like, well, yeah, it's your own fault.
Yeah.
You just hoofed everyone up from the independency. Now you're like, well, now they're all annoyed that they can't get TV time.
But it's because their choice of what they do with their TV time is to do the same thing every week.
You've got to get Roman over.
I know you've got to get Roman over, but like you've also created a situation like the wild card rule. All it is created is the ability to have the exact same matches two times a week, yeah. not just every week, two times every week.
This was my favorite week of the wild card rule, where Ollie has been so good at like keeping track about how many the four, and it always has been four. This week clearly couldn't give an F because there were four within like the first segment, and then there were like 15. During the 24/7 segment, there were more Raw guys than there were SmackDown guys on that show. By the looks of things, it was awful.
Do you think that, like, following the Joey Ryan thing, who says like he's going to have to take a pay cut to go to NXT? Do you think more indie people are going to do that because, like, they're realizing that it's not going to NXT isn't like going to guarantee you a push?
But also not everyone's making Joey Ryan money.
No.
Like Joey Ryan makes so much money in the independent scene because he's Joey Ryan.
Yeah.
Joey Ryan's an absolute like legend of the indie scene, yeah. But like, you know, someone else might not be. Frank the Clown isn't making more money on NXT than he would like on the independent scene, like if he went to NXT instead.
Well, exactly. Like Joey Ryan's like a merch machine as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's got endless catchers. A million things you can put a dick on. It's, I think, basically is the.
But there are some people who are able to do it. Like I know Aussie Open, like they were tweeting about like how they've got like no empty dates in their calendars at the moment because they're just booked up all over the place. But you have to be like your Joey Ryan's or your Aussie Open level greatness,
to be able to
get to that spot. But yeah, to your point, Randy, I think if people might look at the state of NXT at the moment and be like, well, I'm going to earn less by going.
Mm.
And I might not even make it to TV because unless my name is Matt Riddle, I can't really just walk into the door and expect to get TV time right off the bat.
Yeah.
Dan Padilla seems to very much disagree with that thumbnail. He says, just because he backs your channel, it doesn't make him a star. He was lackluster in his indie matches. Even Ricochet couldn't make him look good in the World Cup.
That is balderdash. That's absolutely... Oh, sorry. Well, anyway, he just said indie matches and then said the World Cup. Very different things, aren't they? Because that's a WWE match. No, I mean, his match with Dijak at PWG, Bola, a couple of years ago. The Ishii match. The guy's incredible. It's not just, and that was actually... We were saying that before he was back in the channel.
Mm-hmm.
Before he said he liked the channel.
Tim Arndt says, I don't think the main roster will treat Keith well. He may have a lot of charisma, but they'll stifle all of it. Remember when Becky was red hot?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Inktka 5252, thank you very much for your very generous donation, but no message.
Thank you.
Kay Houston says, a bit coincidental that the first title WWE gave Moxley was the US title and first match in New Japan, he wins the US title. Anything you did with him, we'll do better.
I don't think it's a case of that. I think it's just nice poetic symmetry. I think that's what it is.
It was the title that he could go for without everyone going, well, that's a bit soon to give him like the champ, the main champ.
Yeah, the US title is also the Gaijin title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's poetic symmetry more than anything. Mm.
X-Anarchy says, hello there, lads. First time super chatter. Just wanted to thank you for shafting my sleep schedule with your 2 a.m. New Zealand time streams. Well worth it, though. Much love. Push, Andy Datsun, heart.
Oh, well, I mean, you're welcome for us ruining your sleep pattern, I guess.
But we'll never push Andy Datsun.
No. What about Randy Datsun?
No, not that guy either.
I hate that guy.
Michael Dominguez.
I mean, I like him more than Ryback does.
Yeah. Or Ryback or Mincia.
I'm a disgrace to, disgrace to humankind. Massive thumb that he is.
this is such a good feud, because Randy's going to get killed one of these days.
Michael
Dominguez, kill you with brain power, whatever he does.
Who is our resident? Powers.
That's it. Protein pills. That's it. Other than like brain pills.
Going to be like pouring it in, like that sand trap in the old in the Egyptian tombs.
Michael Dominguez, who is our resident teacher, who's pleased to not be teaching at the moment, says, "Hey, wrestle friends, fancy booking Hart Foundation versus Undisputed Era, Brett versus Cole." Bulldog versus an Anvil versus Red Dragon, Owen versus Strong, Texas love y'all. I think he probably means if we could rewind about 25 years.
Absolutely, yeah. If you could do a bit of like time travel stuff, that'd be great. Yeah. Two good factions going against each other. There's a lot of like faction warfare that you could do if you had like a time machine and could go back and do things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The
we could do all of it.
Welcoming committee.
Like, I'd love, like, because they were, you know, at very different times, but like the DX that people remember from the 1999-2000 versus that 97 Hart Foundation era, I think that'd be great.
Oh, well, I'd love to see Undisputed Era versus that DX.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like they're very good mirrors.
Mm.
Josh Saloom says, "Hey, gents, sorry I was late, but here's an extra $10 for missing it."
Oh, I mean, I don't apologise. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dustin Pylon says, "Put Riker in the Lee/Dijakovic feud. Support WrestleTalk TV."
So curious to see what they're going to do with Jackson Riker in the next set of tapings, because they're putting him over so strong.
He's so vascular.
Like, it took you know, 6 men or whatever it was to put him down.
His inclusion in that ladder match was brilliant.
It was so good.
Good. Like, they've I think they've finally clocked what to do with the Forgotten Sons.
Yeah.
Like, it took them a while. But I think they've really twigged of, like, this is what they should be like.
I actually really like them now.
I really like them. Yeah. I think it was a slow burn, I think, because also it's a lazy gimmick.
Yeah.
It is, like, biker gang is, like, even The Undertaker did that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that was I don't want to be the dead man anymore. Yeah. I'm going to be biker gang.
I want to chew some tobacco while I do promo.
Yeah, it is just overdone in wrestling, I think, to be sort of tough denim guy.
I just didn't like their ring gear when they're kind of weird red stuff. Anyway,
yeah.
Ed Fries and Nicholas Belgraf, thank you very much for your donations.
You
Matthew Kennison says, "How much do you think terrible Raws and SmackDown help WrestleTalk viewership? Support WrestleTalk, they suffer through it so we don't have to."
You say help, but I think it hinders. We've noticed that there is a correlation between low Raw ratings and low viewership on Raw reviews, and the same with SmackDown as well. Like, SmackDown reviews always do less views than a Raw one does, because less people watch SmackDown than they do Raw.
Yeah.
So if WWE numbers tank, then our numbers tank too. So
I think realistically, people want to celebrate good stuff more than they want to bemoan rubbish stuff.
Yeah, I said on SmackDown's episode, it was an hour and a half of two white guys moaning. It was you could watch that on any other YouTube video. Like, I don't think you need to come to us specifically to see that.
ZM Inc., thank you very much for your donation. Juan Gabriel says, "Imagine Keith Lee in a ladder match with how athletic he is. Also, I'm the third Randy Watson fan." And he sends another one saying, "Damn it, I meant Datsun." But also, the last thing, not a super chat, but I noticed that someone called Sebastian Bonilla Carstens said that it is his birthday today.
Aww.
So I thought we would say happy birthday to Sebastian.
Happy birthday,
That is it for now.
It's your birthday.
I don't think he's a lobster, but he might be, in which case.
I think he was a crab.
Yeah, he is a crab.
Yeah.
It's weird. I know all the lyrics to that song.
I thought Sebastian was a crab.
Ariel.
In fairness, I have only seen The Little Mermaid once. So I've seen Sebastian more in his cameo in Aladdin than I have in the film he's a part of.
He is an anthropomorphic crab.
Oh, he's a crab.
Ah, he's crabs.
Nailed it.
Smashed it. Should
we talk about NXT?
Yeah, let's get back to NXT quickly.
Right, well, this shouldn't take long. It was a video recap at the top of the show for NXT TakeOver 25. Good show. Then we got the Keith Lee, Kona Reeves match. Then we got a video package for Shayna Baszler versus Io Shirai, and we see Io leaving after the match, and there's sort of like a backstage thing where they kind of do this throughout the night where you get like interviews with the winners, but you didn't get an interview with Baszler. You got Io just storming past Shayna. Mm-hmm. She's not done with Baszler yet, and Candice is walking behind her, you know.
Candice is walking behind her being like, yet again, third wheel and another few. Damn it.
And they announced a tag match for next week, I believe, which is Io Shirai and Candice LeRae versus Duke and Shafir. So at least they'll pick up an easy win.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. They ain't losing that match. Then we got a video package for the tag team ladder match. Mm-hmm. Still, my heart says it was the best match of the night.
It was really fun.
Loved it so much. And we see our winners, the Street Profits, walking backstage after winning. Hard work, dedication is what
got them. Hard work, dedication.
Hard work, dedication.
Hard work, dedication.
It's what got them to this point. And then in a very nice moment, they put over the camera guy. Mm-hmm. Saying this camera guy's been with us since day one. He's been filming all of our promos. And they pass the camera over to someone else. And they say, we're going to go party with this guy now. But he's wearing a Matt Riddle t-shirt. They're like, hey, we're going to get you some better merchandise than this.
That's fun.
It was fun. It was very sweet. Mm-hmm. Street Profits are awesome.
They are really good.
Then we got a video package for the Velveteen Dream versus Tyler Breeze, and Breeze is interviewed backstage where, amazingly, he said virtually nothing, but did say, I am in NXT now.
Yes, yeah. It just, it was so weird.
It's the most nothing like, promo.
Three times just went, yeah, I'm in NXT now.
Yeah, I'm here now. Yeah. There's a locker room.
But he still said that thing that we were saying on the review, was like, he said he earned my respect. He
cheated.
Basically cheated to win. Yeah. Like, well, I don't understand that.
Yeah, I didn't get that either. I thought it'd be a more fired up Breeze and being like, I had that match won. Yeah. And if Dream hadn't done his shenanigans.
Because he said it was close and he should have. Yeah. Like,
it could have swung in either direction.
Yeah, this should have been the point to say, like, it was really close and he clinched it at the end. And I think using distraction, I want another match.
Yeah.
Or clearly that's not what they're just like, they're not going to do another match.
It's a bit of a shame.
So, yeah. I think
there's stories to be told left on the table there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
He also had a really bloodied up ear as well. Mm. He had like dried blood all around it. Then we got a video package for Damian Priest at a gimmick I was not expecting. So you hear the name Damian Priest and you see Punishment Martinez, you're like, oh, satanic gimmick. I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
No, he's like a party guy. He goes to nightclubs and stuff.
I think he's one of the nightclub vampires from Blade.
Oh,
that's what I think.
Like the Matrix.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Go listen to dance remix of Rob Zombie.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Maybe that's what
nightclub
it is.
Guy. Yeah.
Nightclub vampire, Damian Priest.
Yeah.
Oh man, we got another match here. It's Mia Yim versus Bianca Belair. This was good. Crowd weren't into this though.
No.
And it's surprising that the crowd went into it, considering how hot they were for Keith Lee.
They were massively into him, yeah.
Massively into the Keith Lee Kona Reeves match, like really booing Kona Reeves as well. So I think they were really
huge, like, oh, bask in his glory.
Super into sort of both guys, both positive and negative. And I think that they were into Yim and Belair when they came out, particularly Belair. She got a great reaction when she came out. But the match sort of died a death in terms of crowd noise.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, this is only the second match that this crowd would have seen.
Well, it might have been a different... It's a taping, so it could have been like 3 hours later.
No, I think this was all before TakeOver started.
Because we'd been tweeted about it.
Oh, the dark matches.
Yeah, the dark matches. So, it was a bit of a shame that the crowd went massively into it.
I guess it was probably... like looking at your watch and going like, well, the main show is going to start in about 15 minutes. So I'll go to the toilet, go to the bar, and then I'll come back.
Maybe, yeah.
Just victim of the need for beer.
But Yim got the better early, and then Belair starts using her power. Got an abdominal stretch spot, which is always good in 2019. Love an abdominal stretch spot. I really like Mia Yim selling. I'm a big fan of her.
Yes,
selling.
She's really good.
I liked the
opening was very smartly done, where it was a game of one-upmanship of like, first it was power, then it was, I know you so well, I'm going to dodge this thing, but then you're going to hit this, and this is surprising. There was a lot of back and forth in the early going. Then Belair powers up, starts to dominate. Then she gets cocky, and that's when Mia Yim fires back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very well done.
She and actually, at one point, Belair hit this German suplex. this the one that you rewound?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she did this German suplex where Yim did a full flip and landed right on her head.
Mm.
Oof, gross.
I think it was good. It was very good editing. I think she was safe. But
yeah. Oh, yeah.
When I watched it back, I was like, oh my God. Like, the cut at the perfect moment, just as she's like, it looks like she's about to crunch her head up.
Yeah. You can almost hear Nigel on commentary go, that was gross.
She's dead.
Oh no. And I like they sort of riffed off the previous finish as well, which was when Belair went up for the powerbomb, but Yim grabs her by the braid mm-hmm. and was able then to use that to hit protect your neck. So Belair this time tied her hair up.
Yes.
So that she wouldn't get that. But instead, Yim still managed to get out and lock in her guillotine and then hit a top rope protect your neck for the win.
Yes. So that's
decent.
Mia Yim getting a push, I believe.
It is indeed, yeah. Yes. That's two wins over the undefeated Bianca Belair. Mm-hmm. But like Belair doesn't seem like the sort of character that would take that lying down.
No.
But I don't know if you want to build to a fourth match between these two.
Well, it depends. And also because it feels like they're already doing the women's title stuff. So I don't know what they're doing with Yim now off the back of this. There's nothing for her to do.
Aaliyah,
yeah. Just hundreds of Aaliyah every week. We've got loads of them lying around.
Bring her out again.
We got a bulk order of these back in 1995, and now we need to use them. We're going off next week.
Then we got a recap of a match that didn't happen at TakeOver, but happened last week, which was Kushida versus Drew Gulak. And then Kathy Kelly interviews Gulak backstage, where he said, people keep telling me that Kushida's the best submission guy in WWE, but they're wrong. Because I'm the best submission guy in WWE. He's nothing but a Back to the Future cosplayer. And we all know that Biff is the best character. Like, Biff's the true hero of
that show. I loved Gulak in this. I thought he was great.
Gulak was great. I like this as well, that he said that he claims he's the best submission guy. Yet he pinned me. He had the audacity to pin me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I'm not having that. And it challenges Kushida to a submissions match, which Kushida accepted on Twitter.
That's great.
So that's also next week. Next week, stacked old show.
Oh, it's really good.
Because we've got the tag match of Io Shirai and Candice LeRae versus the Horsewomen. We've also got Kushida versus Drew Gulak in a submission match. And Oni Lorcan and Danny Burch versus the Undisputed Era.
Mm-hmm. Of Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong.
Yeah, because they announced that that Fish is injured. He had his arm. So Strong is filling in for the poor old Bubbles Fish.
I know.
I feel really bad for him.
He'd just come back as well.
I know. And then at the end of the show, we got a video recap of Adam Cole versus Johnny Gargano. And that was the show. So we've been breezed through that.
Yeah.
We Tyler breezed through that show.
Absolutely Tyler'd it.
Absolutely Tyler'd it. But it was the two matches that we got were fun.
They were very fun.
Very fun. Particularly the Keith Lee, Kona Reeves match. Mm-hmm. I would certainly go out of your way to watch that. And if you didn't watch TakeOver 25, A, what are you doing? But yeah. B, you know, you at least watch the recap packages.
Yeah. Watch the show because it was fantastic.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm super looking forward to next week's show.
Yeah, it weirdly did well to set up future NXT as an exciting proposition, but mostly just through naming things. Going, this has happened, this.
Yeah.
It feels like there is no story to speak of going forward. I don't know what's going to happen with NXT, which is both exciting and also, I think, for something that feels so like planned out, generally speaking. Mm. Kind of a bit like, ooh, this feels like one of the first times that I'm not really sure what's happening.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the TV tapings, they're next week, aren't they? They haven't happened already. Yes, next week. But anyway, that was the show. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, very good. Dig, dig, diggity, dig, diggity dog.
Quaking. Do we have any more super chats, Randy?
We have some. We have Jeppersonen.
Jeppersonen
says, thank you, Luke.
Yeah, I think that was he emailed into the podcast looking for advice on quitting smoking, which I have done in the past. But I'm as I said in the podcast,
he's back on it now. Though.
Yeah, I'm a terrible smoker now. But I said I'm fortunate in the fact that I don't really have an addictive personality.
Mm.
So when I decided that I was going to quit, I literally just I'm stopping now.
Stop buying them.
Yeah, just stop buying them, and I stop having them, and I don't really get cravings for them either. Even though I smoke quite heavily,
get addicted to something else, you know.
I got addicted to you, mate. That was why I swapped smoking for you instead.
Happenable
on him.
Says, who will run NXT when Triple H takes over the main roster?
I think he's grooming people for that. I think that's what he's got his little crew down there for.
Jason
his little,
Jordan.
Could be Jason Jordan, you know? Like, mm-hmm. He's trained to be a producer, but like I think Triple H has got his little crew of people. He's got his, your lad from TNA, Borash. I could see Jeremy Borash doing some stuff down there. I think that's why he's brought in people like Abyss and Greg Helms and things like that. So I could see them like putting together a crew of people that could run the show.
I think it's going to be like...
Stephanie.
I just don't think he's going to like give it completely.
Oh, yeah. Right.
He's going to stay. It's his baby. It's like, you know, he'll be constantly hovering.
He will move.
Helicopter dad is what he'll be.
He will move into that Vince McMahon role where Vince McMahon quite famously, he sleeps for about 2 to 3 hours a day.
Mm.
And even then, he's probably working in his head. And he hates sleeping because it's time away from doing the job.
He's a nut job.
Absolutely, yeah. So I almost feel if Triple H is going to like spread himself across doing main roster stuff and NXT.
Hates his beard. He thinks it's winning.
What about William Regal?
Chili Regal is a great shout for a guy to just continue running that ship. I mean, he's a talent scout for WWE anyway. So yeah, I think he
already knows what's going on. You know? Yeah. He's like completely involved. So. Mm.
Jobber JJ says, with Triple H as a wrestler refusing to do the job, why isn't he putting up more of a fight against Vince and to protect wrestlers and characters?
Vince has got the final say. Yeah. I'd imagine Triple H is putting that.
He doesn't want to get sacked before he becomes CEO.
You don't want to get sacked. It's also Vince is his stepdad.
I think he's putting up this fight.
Stepdad, you know what I mean? His father-in-law.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's actually about even more than just your job, isn't it? Like, you know, because if he can't quit, he basically can't quit his job because it's also partly quitting his life.
I mean, I think that like I would imagine based on especially the stuff that Wade Keller was reporting, that the writers have been telling him, and like a lot of other writers sort of like not come out and said, but have spoken privately to people. I think Triple H is putting up these fights and is arguing the case for A, NXT call-ups, but B, let's try and protect them, let's try and make wins and losses matter. But Vince is set in his ways and Vince gets final say, so there's only so much protesting you can do.
Like we said as well, it's not like the only punishment they're having for all of this nonsense is low ratings. Comparative to like, and there's still high ratings in terms of what's going on overall in America. So
like the top 10 things.
It's still like one of the top 10 things watched. It's just not as good as they have been.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, they're making loads of money, selling loads of merchandise. People are watching the pay-per-views and stuff. So it's, I don't know. Like, there's no reason to change anything because it's kind of working in a roundabout. Maybe you shouldn't be proud of it working this way, but it is working.
That's probably why Vince is thinking, like, hey, I'm a genius, it's working. Yeah.
We can make rubbish and people will not watch it, but we'll get paid loads of money.
Still got that Fox deal.
That's like the ideal dream, isn't it? You don't do anything and you get money.
Vince McMahon's essentially is Boris Johnson, just failed upwards. He's going to be Prime Minister soon.
Josh says, El Fakeador, the true alternative to Ollie Davis.
That's correct.
That's actually what you've got tattooed on your bottom.
How do you know? Perv.
Juan Gabriel says, June the 1st was my birthday and I got to watch TakeOver 25, WrestleTalk News and the Ramble podcast. Best birthday in years. Thanks for being my second family.
Oh, well, you're very, very welcome. Thank you for your kind words. Yes. I'm glad you enjoyed all of those shows. The show that me and Ollie did was broadly fine.
Stod123 says, Tyler Breeze versus Adam Cole.
Baby. I mean, to be honest, at this point, you could put Adam Cole in with Kona Reeves and I'd be like, I'm in for it, mate. Mm. Absolutely, I'm solely there.
Jeb Sonnen says, will they ever use Chelsea Green?
She's injured, I believe. She broke her hand. Like, as soon as she started doing the house show, she broke her hand. So I think she still might be out.
She should be back very soon, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if she's at this set of tapings or at least the next set of tapings.
And finally, Jobber JJ says, if I face Lesnar, how long would you think I'd last?
That's all depending on Brock, I suppose.
It depends on how long he wants to wait until he pins you.
Exactly, yeah. It could be depends one German suplex.
Oh, no, we got another one.
You could be in Suplex City for a night.
Yeah, an overnight stay.
Yeah. Check in breakfast.
Check into a motel.
Yeah.
Pizza Slice has just got in here to say, you know who's really got the worst deal in WWE right now? Kevin Owens. He has to put up with Vince and his insanity until 2023. Hashtag free Kevin Steen.
Yeah. Well, you know. Vince might get distracted next year, go to the XFL. Like, that's, you know, Vince might go to the XFL. Well,
Kevin Owens at least re-debuted top of the ranks in SmackDown, you know? It didn't last long, but he still came back high up. And, he's obviously on that list of people that can fill a spot. So, I don't know, I guess sort of hope someone else drops out of something.
Yeah, maybe. But as I said, like, things might change next year. 2020 could be a very drastically different picture for WWE because that's when we will get the launch of the XFL. And, you know, Pritchard has gone on record saying that Vince's biggest mistake, in his own mind, that he made during the first run of the XFL is that he was splitting his time between WWE and the XFL. So there is every chance that Vince is going to put all of his focus back onto it and then have sort of a cursory glance over WWE. Or that might mean that he has got even less doing with WWE but still has final say on everything.
It could be amazing.
Could be amazing, or it could go terribly worse.
But then you could just say yes, Vince, sure, and then put the live show out the way you want to do it.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said no.
Oh, sorry, I thought you signed off this version. Well, we'll sort it out for next week.
Do you know what? Teething issues.
See you on Monday. See you on Monday afternoon.
What was your personal highlight of Games Expo?
Captain Sonar!
Captain Sonar!
It's so good.
Great time playing that game.
I really enjoyed playing Big Trouble in Little China as well. If we talk about in the actual show, I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed the museum game.
Yeah.
Although I made the bad decision to be like, I got that. You get like a card that gives you a mission. Basically, the museum game is it's ticket to ride, essentially, but you're filling your own personal museum full of items.
Yeah.
And you do it by civilization. So if you've got the Parthenon, you might try and get other Greek things like the Colossus of Rhodes or something like that.
Yeah.
Or you do it by what type of artifact it is. So statues are like all branded with a pillar.
Get that statue of Bono.
And then, yeah, get the statue of Bono. And then you've got like little jugs and stuff and urns and trinkets. And you have to try. So you get different points depending on how many of them you have at the end of the game. Kind of like some of the Sushi Go ones.
Yes.
Like little teriyaki chaps.
Yeah, yeah.
I was playing the game. I got given a card at the beginning, which is like your secret mission. And my secret mission was to have multiple masterpieces in my museum. But they are 5-star buildings. So they cost 5 points to get into your museum in the first place. And the more of them that you had, the more bonus points I would get. And I just realized about halfway through, I was like, this is definitely if you're playing like a longer game strategy, because you could get 6 extra points for having like multiple, like 5 different collections basically from different places, all with masterpieces in them.
It's the first to 80, isn't it?
Yeah,
but I just went, we played first to 30.
Yeah, and I just went pure masterpieces and I had 6 of them, which is 30 points.
Yeah.
But then it just turned out that all Pete had done was collect things of the exact same brand. So he got 25 points for having 6 things in his museum.
Oh, yeah, he did very well.
Plus the points that they cost.
Yes.
So yeah,
very well.
Pete just went from last on the board and just leapt into first.
It's like Mario Party.
Yeah, like Mario Party. So basically what I'm saying is it's a rubbish game.
I really enjoyed it though. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoyed Big Trouble in Little China as well. We got to play it twice because the first time we went to go and play it, we were like at the end of the first day. Mm. Which I think is weird that it's the end of the way that the thing is structured, like the show sort of ends at 5,
yeah.
But there's still live shows going on until midnight.
But nothing for you to do.
And like one of those shows starts at 11. So if you don't have tickets for the other shows, and bear in mind you've got to pay to get into the other shows as well.
Yeah.
So you're essentially then stuck from 5 until 11, which is 6 hours.
Yeah.
With a Wetherspoons.
Yeah, do they leave the other hall open so you can go sit down and play games?
I think hall 2's closed as well.
Wow, okay, that's a weird choice.
So unless you could take your own games in, I guess. Oh yeah, I suppose
you go in the free play area, then you could, guess, play your own games until 11, which is ideal, really.
Yeah. So I thought that was a bit weird. But so we got to play Big Trouble for a little bit. And then we went back the following day because our friend Tom was curious about whether he was going to get it or not. I think he decided he was going to get it, but he wanted to just play a little bit more. We ended up playing the expansion pack. And because And because it was less busy, we got to play for ages.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The guy was like, you can't do a full playthrough. And then we almost did.
We certainly did the first quarter of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty good. I really enjoyed it, actually.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
I thought. I was like, okay, well, it seemed like that expansion specifically was like, here's loads of guys.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
This is really difficult. This guy can kill you.
Yeah.
This thing will happen.
Yeah.
If you roll this dice badly here, you get hurt. Everything was just hurting you.
Yeah.
It's basically like our D&D campaign.
Designed specifically to punish you.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. But Captain Sonar playing that at the hotel.
I think that was my highlight of the whole weekend.
Yeah, such a fun game. It's ludicrously fun.
For those who don't know, it's basically battleships. But instead of you just planting your submarine somewhere or your ship somewhere, you are in charge of the submarine. So there is a captain who's calling out directions, the cardinal directions, north, south, east, west. There is a engineer who's marking off each of those directions, and you can only do certain amounts of north before you run out of being able to go north, and it also shuts down some of your abilities. So you have to clear those off by doing other directions or surfacing, but that reveals where you are to the enemy. There's another one on your team who is marking down where they think the enemy is going by listening to what their captain is saying. You sort of move a little acetate over the map, trying to sort of place where they are. And you can fire off like sonar to get them to tell you their coordinates, but they give you one truth and one lie. You can fire the drone, which you ask them where they are.
You ask them a sector.
And they have to answer truthfully yes or no. You can fire torpedoes. You can do a thing called stealth where you're allowed to move four... You're allowed to move four spaces silently. So you just say stealth and then you point to your... You tell your whole team where you're going, but don't say it aloud so that the other team can't track you. So you can... And you can choose not to move as well.
Yeah.
You don't have to move at all. And the whole game is basically just cat and mousing around this chain of islands, trying to work out where each other are and then blasting them.
Yeah, that's the key to it. The brilliance of the game is that it's played in real time.
Yeah.
So you could be moving north, south, east, east.
As long as you've got the potential to.
Absolutely. Whereas the other team might be moving a bit slower. Yeah. It's played in real time. And it's...
We did ours very fast and we kept getting into situations which had taken us around a whole chain of islands.
Yeah.
So I kept making the mistake of going back behind things to be like, that's a clever idea.
Yeah.
But you realise if you go into the corners and go behind something, you have to go like west, 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 north, north to get out. And you're like, west, 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 I'm out of west.
Yeah.
It's like, and then Pete was always like, you need to go south. And it's like, can't go south, bottom of the map. But I can't turn around and go, bottom of the map. I have to go, all right, surface, and then tell them where we are. Fortunately, they were on the other side of the map and we knew where they were. So we were just sort of tracking them coming to get us. And we were like, brilliant, falling right into our trap.
So that's my game recommendation. But we're going to have to cut this podcast short so we can go get ready to record this live show. Thank you so much for listening. There won't be a Saturday episode. Instead, there will be a Wrestle Ramble review of Super Showdown for you to enjoy. And then we'll be back next week to our normal things. But I won't be here. In fact, it'll be Ollie and Pete most of the time, and you and Pete are doing NXT. Thank you very much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.